Hi, my name is David Milroy. I'm the lead pastor of New Albany Presbyterian Church. Thank you for watching this message on YouTube or listening to it on our podcast. I hope it blesses you, and also want to humbly remind you that listening to this message is not a replacement for being involved in a local church. So if you are geographically close to NAPC, we would love for you to come worship with us in person if you are able. And if you are not close, then we would love for you to find a local church close to you. It's Bible-believing, Christ-exalting, to get engaged in that church. Lastly, if this message does bless you, it would be great if you liked it, or even better, subscribe to our channel.
We are continuing our series now, continuing with chapter 1, now in verses 6 through 11. Hear now God's word. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by him in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, whom you have taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
We are in a series called Outward. We're going to look back verse by verse in the first verses to the last. I don't know if you have ever had an experience, and you probably have, where you have an expectation of how things would go, and then you're a little bit disappointed. It didn't quite go that way. That can happen in all walks of life. It happened for me in my fifth book. I think for 8 years I was steadfast and resolute about not having an accident. That I want next. But in about 8 months, when my son was 8 years old, we actually never really had a few times, but at this time, I was completely firm at the wall. And we're not going to get over that wall. And then my kids slipped a few assets. And then so we got a pet, and my neighbor had a pet connection that we paid for $75. And so we wrote the pet, not in a lot. I didn't know. I just did it. And this is a cat that we got in a joke. Former show cat, so if you are newer to church, you're probably going to need to know that I once owned this cat. This cat made our children very happy, and very, very happy, but not really the cat itself. And then later, more pressure that takes to when we got this dog. I know, but he often looks like this, and then who needs the dog? I do. I had one small, very symbolic victory, and that was named the dog, Calvin, after the great preacher, pastor, theologian, John Calvin. That was the extent of the victory. Nothing else that was victorious. And then about 5 years ago, my youngest daughter, she just kept at it. Finally, we broke again, and we went to the Humane Society and got a free cat. Little did I know, you get free cats anywhere you look. So we got a free cat. And in a fit of absolute madness, I said, "Well, that one has a brother. Why don't we get them both?" And so, no, that was a bad idea, because here's why. My kids, three of the four, are grown. The last one's leaving in 2 years. You know, it's stuck with them. I'm telling you, those cats are going to live till I'm like 80. And I will be responsible for them. So, I know you love your pets. I just don't. I don't love them. He does me all he wants, but he's just not that much. But that's pretty trivial. The very, very serious reality that Jesus having
spiritually formed disciples. We have these expectations and then work alone in these expectations. Did they assume that they knew the Hebrew Scriptures? And they knew that the Hebrew Scriptures described the Messiah who would come. And when he came, he was going to establish a kingdom that would never end. And this kingdom would entail a political shift. In the first century, Israel was an oppressed, unrighteous territory of the great Roman Empire. And so when Messiah came, he's going to set it all for us. And he was going to break the Ottoman grip that Rome had on Israel, establish an independent kingdom that would little by little grow across the face of the earth. And they have good reason to think this, as they interpreted or misinterpreted the Old Testament scriptures. Now, there are many scriptures that describe the Messiah part and his fulfillment of those prophecies. I want to walk through three of them in one book, the Book of Isaiah, which some of you study very carefully in history. These are only three of the many more in the Book of Isaiah alone. But the mission to these scriptures, here's Isaiah chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. And so we look over both the zoos, and all the nations shall flow through. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the mountain Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in the path of magic. The nations come to Israel and say, come, we live, let's walk, let's have a vision. And behold, he says, other Zion, not just Israel, but go the law. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now remember, who is the word of God incarnate? Jesus. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall go through the nations until the time is used for many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And their spears in the tomb of both nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This sounds like the kingdom consummated in war season. And then we look at Isaiah chapter 9, a passage that may be familiar to you. For us, a child is born, us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, will not be called Prince of Peace, but the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And throughout David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it in justice and his righteousness from this time forth forevermore, to be in the Lord's host will be Jesus, which is the covenant right there, and it sounds like a of the previous government. The peace will be no tenant. That is covered with happening. One more, Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is passed over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the reproach of his people who will take away from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That salvation is not in Christ. And yet, there's work to do there. And here's what Jesus clarifies in this passage. The disciples were among those who believed that when Jesus resurrected, the kingdom would come in its consummation and fullness. And here's what they're about to talk to. It says, where Judaism and belief would come all at once and split into two parts with a mission in between. So Jesus establishes the kingdom. It is advancing. It is not yet consummated. And what is in between the establishment of the kingship and the consummation of the kingship is what? A mission for us, for the disciples in the first century, for us in the 21st century. So let's pray, and then we are going to take a look together at the work to do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your mission we have no idea what's coming, and yet we can be sure of the most important things.
into a revealed gift through the Word. And so we thank you for your Word. We pray that you root in our hearts and that you call us to be more and more committed to obedience to you, Jesus, and to our finding name, that we need to be born in you. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So we're starting with what we don't know. The disciples, they wanted to know more about the acts of the new in verse 6, so that they could come together. They asked the Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Does that sound familiar to you, that you would like to know more than you actually do know about your life and your future? Some of you are seniors in high school, and you can't wait to actually start living your life when you get out of the house. And you don't know what's next, but you're excited for what's next. You're not sure what's coming. Some of you want to eventually be married, and you're not sure who you're going to marry. You want children, you're not sure if you're going to be a kid. I'm a kid, you can have. On and on you can go. There's so many things that we want to know that God has said, you don't need to know that right now. But we don't know the future. We can't know the future. Only God knows the future. And so Jesus puts the disciples in their place, and he says, it's not for you to know the time and seasons. And he goes on. But life is fundamentally unpredictable. And we can we did it here to the application of God. It's okay not to know. It's okay not to know everything. We all, life is fundamentally, it consists of risks that we take. We're not knowing what the outcome is going to be. And yet, we are much more comfortable with certainty. We want to know. And what's ironic about this is that Luke, at the beginning of this letter, does anybody remember who he wrote this in the Gospel of Luke? The guy named Mark. Theophilus, there you go, Theophilus. Who was a real person, a man, who loved of God, or loved by God. He says there's things we can know with certainty. There are things we can know with certainty. But there are some that we do not know, and we have to go. Trusting the Lord, and live out life, and the truth is, wouldn't it be kind of boring if you knew every single thing that was coming next? It would be. So, what's the voice in the uncertainty? This is how God has structured life. We don't know certain things. The only way we're going to find out is if we go ahead and live our lives, right? Sometimes we need to be paralyzed with wanting to know what comes next. And we just thought it's something that we have to know. Jesus says to the disciples, it is not for you to know exactly when everything's going to happen. Because in these few verses, there is so much that they knew and so much that we actually know. Now, another thing Jesus says, right before the passage in verse 5, is, you're going to wait. You're going to wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you will know what to do. So he's giving that certainty in all kinds of ways. And the disciples had seen him die, and then witnessed him grave. So they knew that his word was trustworthy and true. He conquered the grave, he paid for sin, he defeated the devil. And they know that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, now for you to know that I am Jesus, that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Verse 5, it says, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These are, Jesus is speaking of the same thing. And the baptism, what is the baptism for the Holy Spirit? It is the time at which the Holy Spirit converts you and you believe in Christ. And that is confirmed to the sacrament of baptism. And so what happens then? Well, Jesus was walking on the earth with his disciples, and he told them that it was better for me than me because then the culture is going to come. And he met the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now goes from being God, goes from walking among us to being within us. And if you are a believer in Christ, you have God's Holy Spirit. The third person to know that we have put the seal of the Holy Spirit within us. And so much more than that. You know, it makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when we pass the peace, that is like a terror that converts everywhere. And it's not just some type of people around you. It's intended to be in our very worship service to express them of what God has done in our relationship with each other through the Holy Spirit. We are joined together with brothers and sisters. The Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray. The Spirit fills us with truth, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things are increasingly powers. And even though maybe most joyful of all, we get the privilege of seeing the Spirit at work in other people and making them go from God to life in Christ. This is one of the things that the Spirit does. And we are assured of having the Holy Spirit if we are Christ here. That's the sense that they want Jesus to go up into heaven. It says in verse 9, when he said these things, if they were looking on, he was lifted up in a cloud to the mouth of his sight. Jesus ascended into heaven. They had a term for this. They saw him with their own eyes. And the ascension of Jesus is talked about in verse 6. But it teaches us he's that Jesus reigns and rules. He is not an absentee landlord. He is active in the world. He is working all things out for his glory and for our good. For he is on the throne, at the right hand of the Father. He promises, or Jesus will promise, that he will return. If Jesus is taken up, will come in the same way he saw him go into heaven. This is the promise of the literal bodily return of Jesus to rule forever. It is central to our hope of Christians. There will come a time which kingdom will be culminated and fulfilled, where every kid will be wiped away, where all evil will be vanquished, where all evil will be taken care of and God will judge. That time is coming. We can be certain of the eternal sovereignty of God, in other words, always in control of all things. All things in verse 7 says that. Not even in their own decisions. The Father is fixed that by his own control. So the living God stands ascribe all human history, all material universe. He doesn't waver, he doesn't change, and no one gets bored with plans or his will. We know all of these things, brothers and sisters. And isn't that all we need to know? Maybe that's to know more. But we have all we need in it, right? And so we can trust the people. We don't know what's coming. There likely will be suffering. There likely will be trials and difficulties. But we know these things. And these are the things that we need to know. And so, knowing these things, these are quick standing around. You and I. Notice what the disciples are doing. They're gazing up in heaven. And you can't go to heaven once you're gazing up into heaven. You know, but I would be too. This is one of the key points of human history. Certainly, there's a Christian history where Jesus came up and clouds, you know, just staring up, but they must have been staring too long. Because, lo and behold, it says there are two men stood by them in white robes, and that matches exactly the language of Luke 24. Almost exactly the language of Luke 24, where two people appearing to announce that he had been resurrected. So God sends angels to get these guys going, and they ask him, "Why are you standing looking in heaven?" Okay, you're done. He's just gone now. He's in heaven. So it's time for you to get to work. Like, it's time to quit standing around. So this is actually a mild review. Now, why? Well, because Jesus has said in verse 8, he's given us this program for the rest of the book of Acts. You will be my witnesses. And it says, geography, Jerusalem, Judea. And if you look at the book of Acts, that's Acts 1 through 7. And it says, Samaritan, Acts 8 through 12. And this verse, Acts 13-28, where we have this, you come up with the entire book of Acts right here in this one verse, and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of you that have to marry to them here at home. The word witness in Greek, you know, it's martyrs, it's a really good word as well. Martyr. And martyr is not to be understood as those who die for the faith. Why? Well, because it takes a particular form of powerful witness if one dies for the Christian faith. That's in Dr. and I are not a position that looks like where we will have to do that, where we will have to lay down a lie and die for the faith. And that's the future, right? It's no one will see. But we still are called to be witnesses, martyrs, for the faith. It's what is witness. A witness is someone who sees something and talks about other people. You see the Lord at work in your life, then you are to tell other people about what He has done and who this Jesus is. And you can do that in all kinds of ways. And you can do that. Some of you are in a stage of life where you are entering into perhaps the last stage of your life, and you can't get around that, and it's harder for you. You know, you are called to be a witness, huh? But pray and pray for other people. Pray that the Lord will send His word out to those who don't know Him. By perhaps it is reaching out, calling people, texting people, letting them know you love and you care for them. That's a great way to do witness if you can't get out as much as you need to. For some of us, we're going to take a raising our kids, and one of the most important calls we have is to raise the children in the faith, and witnesses to them of how great the flag is. You can serve the great amazing community, how powerful it is, these small acts of service that you've seen happen in people's lives that you just won't know the impact that it has. And there's a food drop in the office part of the church a couple days ago. I got a commitment to sharing with Tim Holder about how he was here for the first time and he smiled out and it just made me really welcome. And to me, Tim Holder, he looked right and said, This is a priceless. This is a test. You know, could it be something here for the first time this morning? That you just go up to and introduce yourself to them and you never know how that will end. So here, all you can be in really honest integrity. It'll be somebody who's responsible, reliable, who helps them. All those are great ways to be witnesses. But that witness must be accompanied by words. The words that gospel, the words that explain to people who Jesus is and who we are, that we are made in God's relationship with God, that we have broken that relationship with our sin, but we cannot make it right, that Jesus did make it right, and God rose, and we told all to repent of the sins and trust in Jesus. That is the content of the gospel, of what we share as witnesses. Are we willing to share that? That's what we are calling them to do, no matter how old or young we are, no matter what life situation we are in. So, for the families around, I'm going to close with this one winning and little winning. At least one at the cross. He defeated our sin, He defeated death at the resurrection. He is winning. That sin is actually winning. I know if you watch the news, everything's terrible, it gets worse and worse. But Jesus, His kingdom is advancing. You know, when Jesus said this, if you're going to be my witness to the end of the earth, there were, I don't know, maybe dozens of people that believed Him. And how many are there? Billions? That's pretty gross. We're going to keep seeing the gospel go forward. He is winning. And He will one day win decisively. He will come back to Him. All evil will be vanquished. And so it's pretty great to know that we're going to win. Is it? Good to know. Do you ever watch people that
you've already lost his lives, but it was so that life, you lost his life. And probably the
Sunday for worship, in a sense, we are doing what I just described because we enter in here, we call ourselves into the presence of God, we remember that we're sinners, we ask for forgiveness, we are assured that we are forgiven in Christ, we've seen the hymns of praise, we hear the word of God, we get the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we go out into the world. And all of that reminds us of the story that has happened, that has happened, and that will happen. And you know what? What's also amazing is that we know the end, and yet we don't know the near term what's going to happen in our lives. And that's what I think is the best of all time in the world because it's a surprise. And so we can just go out and do our best, we're going to fail, we're going to do things wrong, but we can take risks. And trust Jesus and walk with him, knowing that the ultimate is secure. That's really good enough. So, I want to share with you one way that we intend to be secure. About 8 years ago, there were 10 of us that were a part of this team of people that were trying to seek the Lord's will and where he called our church to go out and make an impact in our city. And we went to a number of different places, a number of different communities. We prayed, we talked, we sought the Holy Spirit, with guidance. And at the end of that time, not like a year, we came back and we felt further convinced that the Lord was calling us to keep a living community, to build friendships and relationships, and to keep making impact in that community. This is a picture of October 18th, 2018, Dr. James Albert, who is a wonderful family in the Eastern Harbor Church in Newton Wales, South Carolina. He was teaching a devotional through SCA's office, actually, in the Linda McHenry High School. And we started doing that, we started creating food, and that continues. This is the 8 years that we are doing that. People that make the deals on Wednesdays, and a team of people that carry the deals down Thursdays, and a team of teaching and sisters and students can head down to the deals relationship. And by the way, yes, many of the church who were baptized and who are part of this church now, because of that ministry, it's been fruitful, it's been difficult, but it's been fruitful. We've also documented the community. We have a big Lizard Fest in 2019. Actually, what's coming up is for the 20th, that's also the fruit of this. We have a church for a ministry called 2019, and a lot of ministries happening out there. And if you need another community fest coming up, and we've been in the pre-K and the elementary schools. We have, I met the head coach of the Mary McKinley basketball team the first time I was in high school, and he and I have known each other for 8 years, and the Lord has been born through one of the examples recently. It's a likewise, newly written, where the elementary school kids come back to school, they learn the Bible, they get a meal, and then they go back to school. All of that was built for a decision that our elders made on Wednesday, just a few days ago, where we unanimously voted to move toward Christ in the community. And it's qualitatively different than being part of a different ministry or outreach in the sense that we are planting churches by Christ and Linda. There is so much to do. We need people to pray. We need you to pray. We need teams of folks to help lead that charge. We're looking for a pastor who's going to lead that. And so there's a
remember this irony that Jesus tells everybody, he tells the disciples to wait for the Spirit and take a quick step around us. And that's what we're trying to balance. Like, we want to wait on the Spirit and let him lead us. We also don't step around. So we're moving forward with this, and really ask you to pray for this effort. You'll hear more in the coming months about this. But this is part of our effort to apply what the Book of Acts teaches us. And the last thing I want to say is that it's a call not only for a church, but for every single person who plays in this text, including everyone here. So if you are a Christian, think about it. Where the Lord is leading you to make an impact. You're already doing that. But the trust the Lord even more. That you can do what the Lord is leading you to do. It might be in your school, it might be in your work, it might be in your neighborhood, but the Lord, without it, is calling you out into taking the rest of it and trusting him to do it. Father, we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, and pray that you would help us to do it on you. I consider this Spirit to be bold, to trust that you know more than us, and if you don't know, you're going to find out. And so we ask for your boldness, for your courage, and that we would increase in it. I love you all, and we pray for you. Amen. Do lift up your hands, receive the benefits and blessings. Know that God is your first coming and Jesus Christ, we would love you. Now we're grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to live in the name of the Lord. Amen.